This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. At the turn of the 20th century, the North Pole was one of the last uncharted sites remaining on Earth. Parties of explorers set out, only to be turned back or killed, attempting to plant their flags at the top of the world. We're not going to jump into the dispute over whether another expedition beat him to it. Instead, we'll focus on the man who was with him, an African-American explorer named Matthew Henson, who may actually have been the first to set foot on the terrestrial North Pole. Brian Clark Howard is a senior writer for National Geographic who marked what would have been the 150th birthday of Matthew Henson. Brian, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do we know about the origins of Matthew Henson, born 150 years ago this month?
Yeah, so Matthew Henson actually had a challenging early life, and he really overcome a lot of obstacles. He was born to a family of black sharecroppers in rural Maryland, and at an early age, he became an orphan. First, his mother died, then his father remarried and had a few more kids. And then, tragically, his father passed away when Matthew Henson was still quite young. So at first, he was sent to live with an uncle in Washington, D.C., and things went pretty well for him. He enrolled in school. He got along well with his uncle. And then his uncle passed away, tragically, still when Matthew was a boy. So Matthew had to begin supporting himself. He started working as a dishwasher, and he really didn't get much school finished. And when he was 12, he actually decided that he would go to sea. Matthew Henson always had a very adventurous spirit. He was very passionate about seeing the world, seeing as much as he could. So he joined a ship as a cabin boy, and he had a very successful run. He worked for 6 years. He became very close with the captain, Captain Childs, who taught him how to read and write. He taught him a lot of seafaring techniques. So he became a great sailor. He learned a bit about navigation, and he had a good time. After the captain, who was his friend, passed away, he took a job on land, again in Washington, D.C., as a store clerk. And that's where he had another interesting encounter that would change his life. Working as a clerk for a furrier, a sort of brash, kind of larger-than-life naval officer came into the store. And they immediately hit it off, talking about adventuring and seafaring. And that naval officer was Robert E. Peary, and he immediately hired Henson to work as his valet or assistant. They went to South America, and their adventures continued from there.
So Peary recognized in him somebody who was a fellow traveler and who knew the sea. After this trip to South America and Nicaragua, followed by a dramatic series of trips to Greenland and the North. So what do we know about Matthew Henson's role in these treks and what happened there?
Well, Peary was a naval officer, but he was very interested in exploration, and particularly of the North. And that's something that Henson found very exciting as well, almost irresistible. So the two of them launched a series of expeditions over nearly 20 years. They ended up doing 8 major expeditions. They started off kind of gradually. At first, they had to learn how to survive in the North. They learned a lot from the Inuit, which actually was a little bit different than some of the other contemporaries in the exploring world. Some of their contemporaries actually looked down on the Inuits and their technology, but they really embraced it and learned as much as they could.
Yeah, I read that Henson actually learned their language and actually had a child with an Inuit woman.
He did, yes. The Inuit often called him the kind one because he was known for his kindness and generosity. And he did learn their language. He became an expert dog sledder. He learned a lot from them. So over the course of these expeditions, the two of them mapped much of Greenland. They found some of the islands off the north. And their ultimate quest, though, which kind of came into focus over the years, was to find the geographic North Pole.
Mm-hmm. And were they the only two who were on that trek?
No, there actually were a number of other competing expeditions, some that were legitimate, some that were people kind of exaggerating their prowess in the North. But no, it was definitely a race. It was an exciting race at the time to see who would get there first.
So, I did just Google first man to discover, quote unquote, the North Pole and saw Robert Peary, 1909, though some historians contend it was an American explorer named Dr. Frederick Cook a year before. Well, so we'll leave aside that notion of discovering a place that had probably been inhabited. But was it ever conclusively proven that Peary and Henson got there first?
No, it has not been conclusively proven. There's a number of reasons for that. The Cook expedition, most historians now think, probably did not reach the North Pole. Interestingly, Cook was a surgeon, and he actually had accompanied Henson and Peary on some of their earlier expeditions, so he was well known to them and became a bit of a rival. The final push, the 1908-1909 expedition that Peary and Henson were later credited with, it's been impossible to completely verify. Some historians do think they made it. Some think they were a bit short of it. It was compounded by very misty conditions, so they couldn't get a good read on the sun to do their measurements to see if they had truly made it. So after the expedition came back in 1909, the newspaper interviewed the team, and the story that kind of carried the day was that Henson actually had likely stepped on what they thought was the North Pole first.
Wow. Well, what was that relationship like between Peary and Henson, who, as I'm reading, they arrived with four Eskimos and 40 dogs. The trip had begun with something like 24 men finally reaching the North Pole. It sounds like there must have been a lot of camaraderie there.
Oh, absolutely. Henson and Peary were very close for decades. It's a little bit unclear, but there were reports at the time that there was a bit of a rift that developed between them because of the final expedition. The press immediately credited Peary with discovering the geographic North Pole. Henson felt that he, based on where his footprints were in the snow, he felt that he had actually reached the spot first, and he felt that he didn't get fair credit. Peary had always called him his first man. He said, I cannot do my expedition without him. And right before he left, he said, I will not make it to the pole without Henson.
Hmm.
So clearly they were very close. However, in his own autobiography, Henson said that on the way back on that final expedition, Peary snubbed him. He said Peary did not talk to him for days at a time, which is very unusual because they had been very close. And he reported that he had felt very hurt by that.
Well, because he stepped first on the North Pole. Did he continue his life as an explorer?
Peary continued in the exploration world. He became very interested in aviation and submarines, and he actually developed some routes for delivering mail by aircraft. Both of the men on that final expedition were in their 40s. Peary, in particular, was suffering physically. He had issues with his feet, so they decided that they did not want to do any more Arctic expeditions on the ground. But they kept involved in spirit and supporting expeditions. Shortly after the expedition, Theodore Roosevelt recommended Henson for a job at the customs office in New York. So he worked as a clerk there for a number of years.
Was he ever celebrated or acknowledged as a great explorer or the man who possibly first set foot in the North Pole?
History was not particularly kind to Henson. He did not get his fair share. He was commended privately by Theodore Roosevelt. He was heralded in certain parts of the black community. He received a number of banquets in his honor. He did not receive official recognition from National Geographic Society for a number of years. In 1906, the Society actually presented Peary with its highest honor, the Hubbard Medal for Exploration. The Society did not award one to Henson until 2000. They did so posthumously, recognizing his important contribution and actually apologizing for the fact that his contribution had been downplayed in the years since.
Well, an untold chapter of history. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Clark Howard is a senior writer for National Geographic who wrote about African-American explorer Matthew Henson. You can see his article with a slideshow of photographs and more on Matthew Henson, all at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.